Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, we're going to jump into our last week of the Blueprints sermon series, a study in 1st, 2nd Timothy. So if you have your Bible right now, get it out. We're going to be in 2nd Timothy chapter 4. 2nd Timothy chapter 4. I have the honor and privilege of wrapping it up this week. It's been an amazing series. Come on, raise your hand if you've gotten something good out of this sermon series, Blueprints. Yeah. Have you been learning anything? Have you been taking something? Have you been applying something, right? We don't come in here just to listen. We come in here so that we can take something, apply it to our life, and live differently according to the word of God that is presented. I feel like today's going to be no different. I don't come with a lot of scripture this morning. I know last time I was up here, I took you through a whole chapter in one sermon. I'm not going to do that this time. Actually, quite the opposite. This might be the least amount of scripture I preach on ever. But I'm so passionate about this. I think God spoke this word. I want you to lean in. I want you to prepare to just have some fun too. I want you to prepare to allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to you this morning, to speak to you right where you are. And maybe you would leave a little different than you walked in because of the power and the presence of God. If you're with me and you're ready, say amen. 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 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Here's our scripture for today. Preach the word of God. Crickets. Preach the word of God. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, preach the word of God. Preach the word of God. Today I want to preach to you about preaching to others. Preach the word of God. You know, I think back of whenever I was a younger person, probably like high school, and we first found Promised Land. And for a short time before I graduated high school, I got involved in kids ministry. I got really involved in kids ministry and the old elementary classroom, for those of you, this might make no sense. For others, you could picture this with me. But our old elementary classroom was actually where the nursery classroom is now. And I remember I would walk in there, and there was a whole stage, and we had puppet shows every week. And Mr. Pete was there. He's probably serving still there right now. But if you're in here, Mr. Pete came and found me one day, and he's one of our elders. And he says, man, I need some help in the tech booth. Will you come? There he is right there. Mr. Pete came up to me, and he said, I need some help in the tech booth. Can you come and help us? And so I went, and there was a Mac in there, and they had moving lights. I mean, this thing was like way ahead of the game, right? Like they were living in the future, and it was this cool thing, and they had puppets. And I remember sometimes we used to sing this song in kids church, and everyone would go and they would sing the song, goes the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me, I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And then everybody shouted, okay, so only some of you went to kids church in here. Yikes. All right, no, it's good, I'm knowing my demographic, that's good. Okay, I know who I'm preaching to, but you would sing that song and all the kids would go, Bible. And it was so much fun, and we would make it silly and have a good time. And what I realized about it, though, is that a fun kids' church song, even in my teenage life, growing into adulthood, transcended from something fun that we would do in kids to a real life principle and staple. I mean, like now when I think about it, I really do stand upon the word of God. I have really made the decision to make the word of God the backbone and the forefront of my life. I let it build my convictions. I let it shape the way I think. I let it shape the way I talk. I let it shape the way I lead my home. I let it shape the way I treat others, the way that I interact with my wife, the way that I prepare for my son. I mean, everything that I have going on, the type of employee that I am, the type of friend that I am, the type of person that I aspire to be is all rooted and built out of the Word of God. I love the Word of God. There's seasons of our life, maybe sometimes, where we feel more in love with the Word of God than others. But you have to love the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's got to be the book for you. The Word of God is so powerful. And I'm not much of a reader, but I'll read the Word and I'll take my notes. Sometimes, you know, I'll go and I'll have it on my Bible app and I'll push play and I'll have it read to me and I'll get the Word in that way. But I do say that I do have a favorite way of consuming the Word. Nothing tops reading the Word for yourself and getting revelation. I do encourage you, if you don't have a Bible reading plan or a regular Bible reading routine, maybe you should consider getting on that. But there is a way that I love consuming the Word. And one of the ways that I love consuming the Word is by listening to people preach the Word of God. I love to listen to people preach the Word of God. I listen to people preach the Word of God all the time. I'll listen to people preach the Word of God while I'm doing dishes. I'll listen to people preach the Word of God while I'm folding clothes. I'll listen to people preach the Word of God while I'm dusting the blinds. Come on, I'm making myself look like a good husband here. Come on, somebody. I'll preach the Word of God while I'm washing my wife's car. I'll preach the Word of God while I'm working out. I know it's weird. Who gets motivated by preaching the Word of God? This guy gets motivated while listening to people preach. I love the Word of God. And you know, as I've matured, I like all kinds of people preaching the Word of God. I don't care what type of preacher you are. As long as you're preaching the Word of God, it fires me up. I don't care if you're a type of person that you hold your Bible and you're behind the pulpit and you say, "This is my Bible. I am who it says I am, and I can do what it says I can do." Right? I love those type of preachers. And if you're different, if you got an organ behind you, right, and it sounds like you're having an asthma attack in between every word, and you preach like, "And when Peter got out the boat and focused on Jesus, and he walked on," right? If you preach that way, I love that preaching too. It doesn't matter. I just love when people preach the Word of God. Oh, it's so good. It changes you. God speaks to you. And you know, whenever I mention preaching, I think all of us in some way thought of some sort of preaching within the spectrum of preachers that I just demonstrated for you. Some of you might have a taste somewhere in the middle. Some of you might have a taste somewhere on those ends. But you picture or hear in your head some sort of preaching. The only problem with your mind going right to one of those preachers is that that style of preaching requires a pulpit. And can I tell you this morning that most preaching happens without a pulpit? That style of preaching requires a platform. And most preaching that happens off of a platform. Most of that preaching happens by pastors. And can I be honest with you this morning? Most preaching that should be happening should not only be by your pastors. God has not only called pastors to preach. God did not create preaching to be only done from a pulpit or a platform. God actually says, no, you are to preach the Word of God. Somebody say me. Yes, you are to preach the Word of God. We live in a world today that is pretty dark. We live in a world today that there's a lot of uncertainty. We have a lot of questions of things that are happening or why things are the way they are. And can I tell you that if the only preaching that the Christian church relies on is from a few men and women on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, this world is going to get a lot more darker than it does bright in the near future. God has not just called a certain group of people to preach the Word. No, if you are in here this morning and you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you live by the convictions of the Word of God, God has called you, say me, to preach the Word of God. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, I am A preacher. Now turn to the other person sitting next to you, and you speak it to them. Say, you are a preacher. I want to preach to you a message this morning about preaching the Word of God. And what I want to title this message, A World Waiting on a Word. A world waiting on a word. Whether you realize it or not, or know it or not, God has a word for you. God speaks words through His word, and He speaks words directly to individuals. And some of you have heard or have gotten before in your life a word from God. You've opened up the word of God and gotten a word from God. We all live in here this morning with different types of things going on and different circumstances and all these other things. And I really feel like God spoke to me this week about a word from Him. How there's a world that's waiting on a word. He got even more specific. He said, some of you in here this morning, your world is waiting on your word. And I really feel compelled today to preach to you about preaching, because preaching is so much more than just this 45 minutes that we have an opportunity to do. Preaching is for so many different people in so many different ways. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes, you know, I'll share this story with you. We were on our last day of summer camp, and I remember telling one of our leaders, we've made it, we're through the home stretch. This is our last morning. All we had to do is get through one morning session, and we were coming back home. We had managed 75 teenagers, and everybody was still alive. We took them on like blobs and lake slides and all the sketchiest things we could find in Central Texas, and we did not lose one person, maybe a toe, but other than that, we didn't lose any people. And I remember on the last morning saying, I can't believe we pulled this off. I mean, I can, you know, we've been doing this. I'm a pro at camp, okay? I'm not trying to worry you for next year, but I was really excited. We were right there, and we load up my truck, and I have a few leaders in my truck, and we get on the highway, and we feel this little bump. It was kind of abnormal, and quickly my tire gauge goes from 40 PSI to 36 PSI to 30 PSI to 20 PSI, and it is going down pretty fast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what do? We have a flat tire, the bus and the van, and everyone's ahead of us. And my wife was like, just make it to the church. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, we're going down, right? Like, I was so concerned, you know, I'd never had like a blowout like that or whatever. I mean, if you ask me, the tire exploded, but I don't know, it was just all a blur. It's probably just like a small hole, who knows, it's a nail. And so we turn in, and I'm frantic, and I was like, what are we going to do? And I think it was just the accumulation of the week and the stress, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. And I go in, and we find a discount tire really close, and so we turn in, and I have a conversation with the guy, and I make a decision from the time I get out of my car door to when I make it into Discount Tire, and I begin to say, you know what, Emilio, God has done a lot of really amazing things this week. He's really touched students. It has been incredible. God has always provided, and He always will. Everything's going to be okay. If you have to fork up a few bucks, what is it in the end? What is it in eternity? And I begin to speak to myself and preach to myself a little bit. And I don't know if you've ever done this before, but when you get to preaching to yourself, you can do something sometimes. It's all just preach yourself happy, right? And I walked into Discount Tire saying, you know what? I just had a blowout, but it's going to be great because God's in control. And it's like, this is the happiest guy to have a flat tire that I've ever met. And I probably looked a little weird and sounded a little bit crazy, but when you begin to preach the word of God, it transforms situations. It transforms things about yourself, about the way you think, about the way you perceive things. You have an opportunity to speak the written word of God into your life and watch situations change. God has called us to preach to ourselves. God has called to preach to other people. Come on, business owners. Come on, managers. Come on, employees. Come on, parents. Come on, teachers. You have an opportunity to speak the word of God. Do you ever ask yourself, what's coming out of my mouth? Do you know that you can only release out what you've been putting in? What are we speaking? And I began to think about it and ponder on it. And I want to challenge you because I feel like God showed me a few reasons through a story, the story of Moses, why some of us, most of us, if we can be honest, are so hesitant to preach the word of God. There's a story in Exodus where Moses, who grew up a prince in Egypt, has found himself on the backside of a desert tending to some sheep. And while he's tending to the sheep, most of you have heard this story, the Bible says that a burning bush appeared to him. Whom? A bush. He gets shocked and the bush says, take off your shoes for the ground you're walking on is holy ground. So he walks up to this bush and the bush reveals itself to be God. And God says, Moses, I have a plan for you and I have a word for you. And the word that I want you to know is that you are to go to Pharaoh and you are to say, let my people go. And God gave Moses a word. And this is Moses' response. I want to show you a few responses because sometimes when we read stories, we like to identify with the hero. But sometimes we fail to realize that it takes the hero a little while before he actually becomes heroic. In Exodus, God tells him, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And this is Moses' first response. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? I think the first reason, one of the reasons, but the first this morning, that we oftentimes fail to preach the word of God is because we don't really know who we are. Who am I? Who am I? Maybe we can say it this way. Sometimes we fail to preach the word of God because we have forgotten who we are. Who am I? You know, I've come to learn something in life, and that's that when something is very important to you, it kind of consumes you. Right? When something is a really big deal to you, it consumes you. It's all important to you. I think about, and no offense to anybody in here, but I think about people like maybe who have like done the keto diet. Right? Has anyone met anyone who's ever done the keto diet? You would know if they have done the keto diet. You're not catching me. Okay. If anyone has ever done the keto diet, and it's not just the keto. Before the keto, it was like Atkins and Weight Watchers and then Jenny Craig, right? There's all these things that have really transformed people's life. Most recently, the keto diet. And the keto diet's great. I have nothing against the keto diet. I'm sure it is great. I'm sure it is wonderful, right? But you meet someone who has done the keto diet and has lost like 0.7 pounds, and all they can talk about is how amazing the ketogenic diet is, right? You see them, and it's like, hey, how was your day yesterday? It's like, oh my gosh, so amazing. I had 4 slices of ham, and it was the best day ever because I'm on the ketogenic diet, right? It's like, I didn't even ask like what you were eating, right? You just felt the need to tell me that you were on the ketogenic diet. Like, I mean, it is all they can talk about, people who are on that or whatever it is, because whenever something is influential in your life, because whenever something has made a mark or a difference in your life, all you can seem to do is talk about that one particular thing. It is all that's on your mind. You wake up and think about it. That you go to bed and you think about it. You plan about how you're going to talk about it the next day. You plan about how it's going to affect you. You begin to meal prep and plan and share things on Facebook and tell every person about it. I mean, you already know. You will start to become that person. What person? The person that's like, I see you walking in from the door over there, and I'm like, I'm going this way because I do not want to hear about the keto diet today, right? Now, that's a reputation. What I'm telling you this morning is that I want to be the type of person where people see me and they know that what I'm about to talk about is the goodness of God, what God has been able to do in my life because I have encountered something that has been so transformative on the inside of me that has made such a drastic difference in who I I am that I can't help but begin to tell people about that very thing. I want God's presence to make me who I am. I want it to dictate how I talk and dictate how I walk. And I begin to naturally preach the word of God because the word of God has turned my life upside down. But instead of having people that are so transformed, we lose sight of it sometimes. We lose sight of how powerful it is and what it really did to us. And we lose sight of those moments when Jesus first saved us, or we first felt the love and comfort of God, and we felt the support of a church family. We lose sight of what we used to be like, how we were in the mud, but Jesus pulled us out of it. We lose sight sometimes about how even when I was a sinner, God still loved me. And instead of proclaiming the good news of Jesus, we say, but who am I? Who am I to change the values of my business? Who am I to speak up to my coworker that tells me every day how hurting they are, and I just listen and a scripture comes to mind, but I just can't get it out? Who am I to believe that God can actually do the things that he says he's going to do? Who am I? Listen to God's response. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" And God said, "I will be with you." Now you read that and you're like, that's so good. I read that and I'm like, God kind of dissed Moses right there. Because God had every opportunity to be like, "Moses, you're a man of God and you're called and you're amazing." He's like, "Yeah, you're right, you're really nobody, but I will be with you." I think sometimes we lose sight that God is with you, that God is with me, that God is there to make a difference in our life, that the God, the Creator, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords is in you. And that's not just something to make you feel good, that's what the Word of God says. I will be with you. How much of our life do we live knowing in that moment that God is with you? How would you take on haters differently knowing that God is with you? How would you take on people at work differently knowing that God is with you? How would you fight harder for those who need you to stand up for them knowing that God is with you? How much more would you want to give the goodness of God and be generous and invite people to the river baptism and invite that hurting person to pray for them? How much more would you be willing to take their hand and say, "You know what, brother? You know what, sister? I can't say for sure what is going to happen, but I know a God who can take control of this situation if you believe that God is with you." I believe God's all over everything. That's been my prayer with everything that we have going on. God's with us. Very quickly, God gives them that amazing word, "I'll be with you." And this is Moses' response. Moses says, "Okay, suppose I go into the Israelites and I tell them that your God of your fathers has sent me to you. They will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell him?" I think number one, sometimes we don't know who we are. Sometimes number two, we don't really know who God is. I mean, we do the Christianity thing because, you know, someone told us to try it out, or I go to church because it's a traditional thing or it's a religious thing, or I open my Bible and do one highlight so it looks good on Instagram. But do we know who God is? And for the sake of time, I just want to tell you his response. He tells him, God says to Moses, "I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to the Israelites. Tell them that I am has sent you." Confusing in some ways. But what God is telling Moses here, he says, if they ask you who God is, tell them I just am. Tell them you can't put a box on me. Tell them you can't label me. Tell them I am the very help that you need in this present moment. Tell them that I am the beginning and that I am the end. Tell them that everything that they think is turning their world upside down fits in me, so I have control over it. Let them know that nothing has ever beat me and nothing ever will. Let them know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Let them know that I am undefeated. Let them know that to those who need a doctor, I am a healer. Let them know that for those who need some hope, I am close to the brokenhearted. Let them know for those who are stuck in the muck and the mud, I am the only redeemer. You cannot put a label on me. I just am, and I always have been. It doesn't matter who you are, and it really doesn't even matter who they think I am. I am very life in itself, in its existence. I give you breath. Everything exists because I choose to let it. I spoke it, and so it is happening. You don't need to worry about your today or fear your tomorrow, because the very I am is with you right now. How different would we live our life? How much more would we be able to preach the word of God and tell people what they need to hear if we actually believe that the creator of the Almighty was with us right now in this moment? God is with you. And it's compelling and it's convicting. And we should do something about it. And Paul tells Timothy, preach the word of God. God gives Moses a word. And the world of the Israelites is dependent on the word that Moses has. Who in your life, whose world is waiting on your word? Maybe your world this morning is waiting on your word. I don't know whose word you were called to influence. What I do know is that God has given you a word. And if we were to spend more time pursuing the word that God has given to us versus all the other words in the world, then we could make a difference, not only in our own life or our own church. I believe Promised Land has been given a word from God to bring people together into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. And that's our word. And our word has changed the world of so many. And it will change the world of so many more. But we have to be so intentional, so present, and so adamant about preaching the word of God. Will you stand to your feet with me this morning? And I just want to try something. We only have a little bit of time, but I'll give you the third one right here. I'll give you the third point, but this morning, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to hear. And Ben, we can just begin to play something because I want us to begin to exercise some faith this morning. Because some of us in here, we have never spoken the word of God. We have never looked at our life and we have never been able to say, oh God, this is us sometimes. God, please just do this thing. God, why me? Why am I always hurting? And I know that life brings us to those moments of desperation sometimes. But can I help you to shift your perspective in here this morning? Let's turn the lights down a little bit because I want everyone to just be on your own and just be personal. Listen to me right now. But this is what I think. This is what I think. That we have an opportunity of shifting our perspective from going, God, why is everything so hard and so broken for me? To shift into God. This is what your word says about this situation. And so I'm going to choose to speak these things over my life. I'm going to preach the word of God. And I believe that my relationship with my kids will be redeemed. I'm going to preach the word of God over my life and believe that every chain of anxiety will fall and will crumble at the mention of your name. I'm going to speak the word of God over my life and believe that healing can begin to happen right here, right now, right where I am. Because the word of God never returns void. The word of God is living and breathing, sharper than any two-edged sword. You have the most powerful period to ever exist on earth at the disposal of your own hand, at the tip of your tongue, and it's at the mention of his name. And I wish that we had a few people in here that would choose to preach the word of God and watch how different their world would become. And it's going to feel weird But I'm going to challenge you this morning. And we usually don't do this, but every head bowed, every eye closed. We don't need to be looking around. But you have some things going on in your life. We all do. We all have things that we're walking through. All we have things that we're feeling. We all have things that we're struggling with. And sometimes they feel too big or insurmountable or too heavy. And this morning, all I want to challenge you to do right now, and I'm going to jump in with you, is in your own way, in your own words, as the band begins to sing and minister, the altars are open if you want to come down and lay something at the feet of Jesus. But all I'm asking you to do this morning is begin to speak the word of God over your life. If it's finances that are hard, know that your God is a God who opens up the windows of heaven to pour out blessing. If it's healing that you need, that by his stripes, that we are healed. That God is a good father. And if you have hurt from your childhood, or if you're scared to love, or scared to trust, or scared to open up, that God is a good father, and he will redeem and restore anything. Come on, in your own way. It shouldn't be quiet in this room. It's going to feel a little awkward, promised land. But I want to encourage you this morning, that if you just begin to speak the word of God. I feel this, Pastor Nate. I heard this whenever before y'all were singing. I want to change it. I heard. I spoke the word, and he heard, and he answered. I spoke the word, and he heard, and he answered. I spoke the word, and he heard, and he answered. And that's why
I trust him.
That's why. Come on, God, I believe right now. I believe that my son that is still in the womb has a calling on his life. I believe that you've given him purpose. I believe that those that are hurting, God, that you are closer than a brother, closer than a friend. I believe those who are believing for new life, God, that you are the giver of life. God, I believe that you are so close. God, I believe marriages are restored because you're the great Redeemer. You're the great Redeemer. There's nobody like you. You'll redeem every marriage in this place, even in the midst of mistakes, even in the midst of heartache, even in the midst of trauma. You can redeem. You can redeem every. Your word says you're a Redeemer. Redeemer, God. God, I believe that as they take those steps of faith, you will honor those steps of faith. Come on, let's stay in it for just a little while longer. Speak the word of God over your life. God, I believe you're the Redeemer. God, I believe your presence beats depression. I believe depression's knee must bow over this generation. Depression's knee must bow over these people. That the voice of depression must be silenced in the name of Jesus. I believe that people are being set free because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And who the Son sets free is free indeed, 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 indeed. Freedom is in this place. Hope is in this place. Restoration is in this place because the Word of God says so. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Come on, we're overcoming today. We're overcoming today.
That's why I'll trust him. That's why I'll trust him.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The opinions of others hold no weight in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that addiction is dissolving. I feel that in my spirit right now. I don't know who needs to hear that, but addiction is dissolving. I just hear this word. I don't know what it is, Pastor Nate, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, and I feel like he just said, Promised Land's revival ready. Promised Land's revival ready. Father, we just surrender and submit all of these things to you. If you're praying and you're having just stay in it. Our band's here, we have time, but for everybody else, let me pray for you. Let me invite you tonight, 6 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all this week. We're having revival. It's going to be amazing. Come back, get in this atmosphere, bring someone with you. God is going to do amazing things. For everybody watching online, it will not be streamed, so get here in person. But everybody, regardless of where you're watching from or what you're going through, let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we surrender everything to you. We declare that your word has the final say over every life, every heart, every situation in this church. God, we pray that you would continue to be God, and Holy Spirit, we continue to turn everything over to you, that we would walk out different than we walked in. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.